You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, where you look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Ross Briley and John Budden in the studio. Two jumps meetings, one from Ayr and one from Fontwell, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Tapeter at Newcastle. So three meetings to go at. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man. Big weekend of racing just gone by. Some of the results have had a bearing on the anti-post markets for the Cheltenham Festival, and we're going to look at the Monday jury to start with, which focuses on a few of those markets. Just a reminder, of course, that it's non-runner insurance here at William Hill. So if you have a bet on an anti-post market in any race at the Cheltenham Festival and it doesn't run, you get your money back. If it runs in a different race to what you've backed it in, then you get your money back as a free bet. So you can have another go at it that way around. That's non-runner insurance here at William Hill. Before we get stuck into the questions, Rory, pretty big weekend, pretty good weekend, and a few clues. Did many of your opinions change for the festival on the back of this weekend?
No massive changes of heart, but obviously certain things crystallise. It was, and you know, it's always a very interesting weekend, and there are a few horses coming from slightly out of left field to enter the Cheltenham picture, particularly yesterday at Leverstown, I suppose. Mm. Although Newbury's card is always very informative as well.
Yeah. Let's spin through these questions then, because they do focus on some of the markets. First one is around the Gold Cup. Has Native River's position in your Gold Cup pecking order now changed on the back of his demo?
Yeah, awful question, to be perfectly honest. He was second favourite for the Gold Cup. I think one person in that panel actually says yes, they'd put him top of the pecking order now. But given he won a three runner race that he dominated, it's hard to see that even if you thought his chance was slightly enhanced by that, you wouldn't suddenly put him ahead of Thistlecrack. I don't think. I think he's a very interesting one against Thistlecrack because they're very different horses from the same stable, and they've got different characteristics. But yeah, he cemented his claims for the Gold Cup, but because he was already in second place in terms of the betting, he was unlikely to move himself any further up that. I mean, obviously his wins prior to that have come in handicaps, albeit top class handicaps in the shape of the Hennessy and the Welsh Grand National. I spoke to Colin Tizard last week about his Cheltenham hopes. And it was interesting, he was saying about Native River that he has a reputation of being a grinder, but in every race he's won this season, he's quickened at a crucial stage of the race to put the race to bed, and then he's ended up hanging on. He didn't hang on Saturday, but in the Hennessy he quickened decisively from the second last and then got closed down by Carlos Destria on the run-in. In the Welsh National he quickened away from them, had the race won two out, and then was closed down by Raz de Marie. And it shows that he's not as one-dimensional as some people would have him, you know, just a resolute galloper. He has the ability to quicken at a crucial stage of a race, and that makes him a genuine Gold Cup candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, there was the opinion before the race that something would, in big handicap fields, something comes to challenge him, he keeps grinding, keeps finding.
Yeah.
He surely has a little bit of class about him as well, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, yeah. I mean, they ran him without headgear early last season, and Colin decided that he's a bit of a man's ride. And interestingly, he said him and Richard Johnson are a match made in heaven, but Richard couldn't ride at the weekend. Aidan Coleman came in, would be a very different jockey entirely. So it was actually very pleasing to see how well he went under Aidan, because Colin's view has always been that if you allow him to doss, he will immediately. Yeah. He will drop the bridle. So he always needs to be kept up to his work. And that's why they use cheek pieces on him, because it just makes it makes him race that little bit more kindly. But he certainly has developed remarkably in the last 18 months or so. He was last but one to finish in the Albert Bartlett a couple of seasons ago. Mm. And that gives you an idea of how far he's come in a short space of time.
Yep, very much on the up. The market stands like this at the moment. No change in the order, but a slight change in the prices. Thistlecrack 6-4, that remains the same. Native River just trimmed very slightly, 92 into 4-1 in the market. Q-Card then 7s, 7-1 for Jack Adam, sizing John 10-1. 12-1 for Outlander, 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. We should probably mention Sizing John there, not mentioned in the Racing Post Monday Jory, but he won the Irish Gold Cup over the weekend and shortened into 10-1 for the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
I thought it was a decent contest, the Irish Gold Cup. It hasn't got the greatest record at throwing up the Gold Cup winner. Maybe it's because it tends to be quite an attritional race and a bit closer to Cheltenham than most would like for a trial like that. But in saying that, the horses who came out on top this year are horses with speed, and they add a lot to the race. They make it a very interesting puzzle. I'm not sure that I would fancy either Sizing John or Empire Dirt to actually win the Gold Cup, but both of them are fully effective at 2.5 miles and proved that they stayed 3 miles in soft ground at Leopardstown yesterday. So given that they're improving and they've got that blend of speed and stamina, suddenly it just looks a much more, not necessarily a wide open Gold Cup, but a Gold Cup with a lot of facets to it.
Yeah, we lost a few from the lineup, didn't we, a few weeks ago, and it did look like we were dwindling in potential numbers, really, and challenges.
And it was helpful that Thistlecrack got beaten. Yeah. In a manner of speaking, because there was this possibility people were going to get into their heads that he was invincible. Now that that has been knocked on the head, I still think he's an exceptional performer, but no one's going to run scared of running in the Gold Cup now. And if we get a double-figure field, which we should get now, you've got a really intriguing contest. And you know, it's nice to see the Gold Cup being the most interesting race at the Cheltenham Festival, and it's not always the case.
Yeah. Really looking forward to the Gold Cup this year. Really looking forward to one horse in particular in the Arkle. Not quite as competitive this race that we move on to next. Please, can you recommend one each way against Altior in the Racing Post Arkle? Well, Altior is 1-4 now at the top of the betting. 7-2 York Hill. Charbel is 14s with a whole host of others. Cloudy Dream, Identity Thief, Royal Caviar, Sunplan, and Top Notch all 14s in the market there. 16-1 bar those. Altior will be many people's banker for the festival, Rory. Stepped out of novice company in real good fashion at the weekend, has been compared to Sprinter Sacra. He's obviously the one to beat. So what is the each-way angle in the race for you?
This is a tricky thing, trying to find an each-way angle. I'm desperately trying to get the market up here to see the full list, because a lot of those horses are up against Altior won't want to run against them on the day. So horses who've got a great chance of beating the rest of the field may end up swerving the race to run elsewhere instead. Mm. So you've got to find something that's going to run in the race. You've got a very good answer from one of the panellists in the Monday jury, and that is Tom Simmons, who trains Ben Pauling, rather, who trains at Herbereth. Yeah, both. They're an easy pair they're a very hard pair to mix up when you see them in the flesh, but of course they were joint assistants to Nicky Henderson a couple of years ago. So yeah. A Herbereth is a horse that Ben's always thought the world of. And he is at his best at Cheltenham, it seems. He was a very good... he ran very well in the Grapewood Hurdle early in the season. Form that's worked out very well. Songlight, who was placed in that, ran really well in the Betfair Hurdle at the weekend. And he won despite being ridden for experience on his chase by at Bangor. I didn't think he was really... In a manner of speaking, he wasn't really put in the contest. He ended up coming wide, which is not a great thing around there, and still won, beat Starkitect. Starkitect is a shorter... A 25-1 shot. Now, Starkitect surely going for a handicap anyway. He's 25s for the Arkle. A Herbereth, who's a better horse for me and indeed for his trainer, is 40-1 here at William Hill. He mentions 50s, and he might be 50 somewhere, but we're talking Hill's prices here. 40-1's a great price because he's pretty much said this horse runs in the race. No shadow of a doubt about that.
Yeah.
It will cut up badly. If you're getting 10-1 about a horse being placed when it's a confirmed runner, we had the same situation last year with horses running scared of Duvan and the Arkle. The same thing's going to happen here. You've got to find a horse at 33s or bigger who you know is going to be aimed at the race, and it's maybe going to be ridden for a place as well. And that's definitely the case with a Herbereth, who we haven't... I know he's no youngster to be going chasing, but he's had his injury problems in the past and he's been looked after. But he's always excited, Ben, at home. And I know he said earlier in the season, this is a grade one chaser in the making.
Right.
And, you know, he's not the type to over-talk his horses like that, but he was a horse that they couldn't find anything else at home to work with. They had to take him to Nicky Henderson's to work before he landed a gamble at the open meeting at Cheltenham last year. So he's lightly raced since. He's shown that he's got all that ability. He's taken well to fences. So at 40s, he looks a decent each-way bet there.
Okay, a Herbereth 40-1 in the market there for the Arkle. Next question, Supreme Neptune Coral Cup. Where would you go with Ballyandy?
Do you know what I go? No one seems to mention this as a possibility. It's a race that's got a remarkably good record in its short history of producing Grade 1 chasers of the future. That's the Martin Pipe.
Hmm.
He's going to come up slightly short in terms of the ratings for the Supreme. Yeah. Because he got into the Betfair, which is a weaker than usual Betfair hurdle off a lenient mark. Now, the handicapper's going to hit him for that, and we'll find out tomorrow exactly how hard he has it. Actually, might even... It's today too early to find that out. It's only published tomorrow. It will still leave him shy of the Supreme, and if it comes up quick for the Supreme, I can see him just being taken off his feet a little bit, because it's all very well saying, you know, he won the Champion Bumper for 2 miles last season, but it was a real staying performance on the day. They went hard in the Champion Bumper, and he got up close home to win. He will stay further. Coral Cup's 2 mile 5, the Neptune's 2 mile 5, the Martin Pipe's 2 mile 4. And it's a race that's thrown up just a host of top class chasers in the last 3 or 4 years. Willie Mullins always, and in fairness, it's a very competitive race, and Willie Mullins always looks for it, and Jiggenstein always seemed to lay something out for it as well. They've gone hand in hand in the past. They won't do this year, of course. The likes of Sir Deschamps and Kalota Vic, etc. have taken it. Don Pauly won it as well. So if you're thinking about your horse's future, historically, it shows that it's a good race to run in. And while no one tends to aim their horse at the Martin Pipe, I think it makes an awful lot of sense. And he'll end up, I think he'll get in with a reasonable weight in that. And it's a race that's been dominated by novice hurdlers, essentially, in recent times. So that's what I'd be thinking of.
Okay, that's Rory's weighing with Ballyandy then. He's currently 7-1, by the way, to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival. Therefore, you don't have to nominate which race he's going to turn up in. There is obviously non-runner insurance as well.
Just one thing to mention about to win any race. Logically, you think if a horse is... if he's 3-1 to win such a race, 12th win another race, and he's... 7-2 to win any race at the festival, you think, well, that's ridiculous value. He's only 3-1 to win this one. But sometimes horses are entered in races that they're unlikely to win.
Yeah.
And connections are more likely to go for the big prestige race. So they could end up being in tougher races. And again, of course, if he runs in a handicap, it's going to be a 20-runner race where they've all got an equal chance on paper. So sometimes the to win any race market, the price can look a little bit better value than it is. What you need to do with those is weigh up what the options are, where the horse is likely to run, and whether the safety net of that is actually giving you value or not.
If you were pricing up, I know this is a ridiculous question, but say he gets there in one piece and does turn up in the Martin Pipe, do you think he'd be much bigger than a 7-1 chance in the race?
Yeah, I think, not much, but I mean, he's going to be, let's say realistically, a 10-1 shot because it's a very competitive handicap.
Yeah.
You're liable, because he's won a big race beforehand, you're liable to get a slightly shorter price. And of course, we don't know what the handicap mark is.
Nope.
And we don't know what the obvious plots are from Ireland coming into that as well. So it's a difficult one to weigh up. But he's not going to be a 3-1 shot.
No.
We did have a favourite for that a couple of years ago, who went off at 15-8, I think. David Pipe's horse, not Grand Cru, his brother.
Jeffrey Chambertin.
Jeffrey Chambertin. He was absolutely punted off the boards for that, but ran poorly. But normally, it's a really competitive race. It has to be something like 6 or 7-1 the field. Yeah. And it's one of those, you've got to work out where the trainer is most likely to run the horse and weigh it up. And sometimes it will offer you exceptional value. But you do have to cross the T's and dot the I's to find that.
Yeah, it's just another piece of the puzzle for the Cheltenham Festival anti-post markets. Do you fancy Tibby Fair to cap an incredible sequence in the Potemps final? 10-1 favourite for that now.
He's... Again, it's the wrong question. It's a real shame that we end up judging To Be Fair on whether he wins the Potemps or not. The fact that he's won 7 on the trot, despite having an injury in the middle of that as well, is remarkable. And he's climbed the ratings to a huge degree. He's been too honestly and openly campaigned to think he's going to win the Potemps, because something is going to go in there under the radar, half a dozen are going to go in under the radar. And improve, and he will probably pull out more. He's got a tremendous attitude, and he will almost certainly run respectably, and he might just manage to win it. But that's not really what his win at the weekend is about. It's just what a wonderful horse he is, that he keeps looking like he's winning all out, and yet he pulls out more in the finish, and when the handicapper races him a chunk for it, he does exactly the same thing in a better grade. So take your hat off to him and say, well done, Debbie Hamer, for the way she's handled him.
Yep. Anybody who hasn't seen the race at the weekend yet, go back and watch it, because To Be Fair gets challenged 3 or 4 times up the running. He looks like he's going to be swallowed up every time. You think he's won 6 races. He's probably got caught by the handicapper now, and he just keeps pulling out more.
And if you enjoy watching that, just watch all his races back. Yeah. I napped one against him at Foss last early in the season. I was absolutely convinced that I'd won it, and to be fair, battled back to win that. And that's the way he's gone through all his races. It's been tremendous to see.
Yeah, great attitude. Tenacious, you could call him. Do Warwick Winners, Ron's Dream and Flying Angel have any chance at the festival?
Well, you say any chance.
Yeah, I've read the
answer is, the answer is yes. Are they horses you should have on your radar? Not particularly. A fair play to Nigel Twiss and Davis for getting Flying Angel back on track. And he's a horse who's been placed at the festival before. He was placed in the Martin Pipe last year, wasn't he? So he's an interesting one, but his jumping fell apart in two starts after winning it at Perth, and he's now won two small field novice chases. And while he clearly goes well enough in a big field, you'd be concerned about his jumping, and you wouldn't want to see him in a graded race, to be perfectly honest. I think he'd come up a little bit short there. In a manner of speaking, a handicap like the festival plate might suit him, but he wouldn't be high up your list given the nature of the race he won at the weekend. And so that's even more so for Ron's Dream. No real chance of winning the mares at the festival. But again, you know, this is the issue we have. We can't just celebrate horses for winning the races that they do. We've got to say, let's ignore that win and see what you can do in March. And it's not often relevant.
No. Final question, last but not least. Who's the champion hurdle tip after another tumultuous week? It's one of the races that's been hard to figure out all year, isn't it? We've had so many twists and turns along the way in the champion hurdle market. Bouverdere now the market leader at 3-1. 7-2 for York Hill, still needs to be supplemented for the race. Yanworth is 4-1. 9-2 for Petit Mouchoir.
Under Sue in there at 7-1. That's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in fairness, you might end up... It's a slightly bizarre scenario that Under Sue might end up running in a champion hurdle 2 or 3 years after he was so well touted for it. I think Willie can kiss goodbye to his champion hurdle dominance at the moment. There's not a huge amount of value on paper and back in Bouverdere. I must say that the second I heard that he was going to be rerouted, he was my champion hurdle horse. And the one thing to bear in mind is, well, you ask yourself to what degree it was the trainer saying, I want this horse to go back. Because Nicky Henderson, a day or two before this horse was heading for Sandown to run the contender's hurdle, we'll keep our options open with him. And all of a sudden it was like champion hurdle all the way. And I suspect that Team McManus know very much where they stand with all their horses. And it's very interesting that Yanworth was all set for the contender's hurdle even after the decision was made that Bouverdere was going back to hurdles. And all of a sudden, a day later, he had an injury. And Bouverdere stepped in to take his place, and it almost seems like he's the anointed one for JP. And the vague rumours that I can hear are that, you know, that he's as fast as Altior at home, and he, you know, they could never tell him apart last season. Essentially, Altior obviously won the Supreme, and Bouverdere was well enough beaten in third, but he was ridden to pick up the pieces that day. Mm. I've always liked him enormously. His jumping is very good. He made a slight mistake at the first at Sandown when he won. Otherwise, he was very slick at his hurdles. And jumping is a question mark for most of these. Yanworth doesn't jump particularly fluently. Nichols Canyon doesn't, you know, he doesn't jump well enough to win a champion hurdle if he's going that direction. Vroom Vroom Mag wasn't nearly quick enough at Doncaster. So I think while you can pick holes in Bouverdere being 3-1 favourite for this, given he's run once over hurdles this season, and it was a second, you know, it was an afterthought to bring him back, he's still the one that I want to be with. I have had a small interest at a bigger price than that, and I wouldn't necessarily be piling in at 3-1, but if it all comes down to who do you fancy in the champion hurdle, then him. The other interesting one, of course, is the stable companion who's in different ownership, that being Brain Power, who has improved enormously in the last year. He's going to be an even better horse over fences, I think.
Yeah.
Given his size and scope, but he was really impressive when winning the Ladbroke at Ascot, despite the misty conditions, and you couldn't help but be impressed with how he won that, and he could easily improve another £10, and if he does, then he's right in the mix with that. So it'd be interesting if he spoiled the party for Nicky and JP McManus.
Could you give Jessica a chance? 6-1 in the market, I suppose.
He's a champion hurdler who at his peak was better than these.
Yeah.
The fact that he's proven himself over 3 miles doesn't rule him out of this, because the last two champion hurdle winners have also been proven at three. Just wonder whether he's lost a little bit of his dash. For all he looked back on song on his reappearance. he runs in the Red Mills, doesn't he, at Goren? I mean, that will tell you plenty on the day.
Yeah.
He has to come into the equation. But again, if he was... If the vibes were incredibly strong about Jeske, then there'd be no need to bring Bouverdere back into the equation. But we can overthink these things. And that's half the issue with the champion hurdle at the moment. There's an awful lot of second-guessing going on.
Yeah. We'll leave that there, and that's the Monday Jury. We've had a good old chat about a lot of the markets there at the Cheltenham Festival. 28 days, I suppose, to go with this being Tuesday's racing podcast, if you're listening to it on the Tuesday. We'll talk about that more in detail later on. But right now, we've got racing to look at on Tuesday. Rory's got some races previewed for us. Let's get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, we'll spin through these in time order. And the first race that we look at is the 320 at Ayr, which is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles, a field of seven set to go to post for this one, which makes it a little bit more tricky from an each-way angle, perhaps. But what are your thoughts in the race, Rory?
It almost looks like a veteran's chase, judging by the age of most of the runners. There are a few of these have been around for an age. CW, the top weight's a 14-year-old now. Bourne has been around forever. He's found a lot more consistency this term than he has in the past. But there's one who stands out in terms of still being on the up and up, and that's the bottom weight, Oscar's Prospect, who only has 10 stone 11 to carry the 5-year-old. She is very well bred. Her dam is a half sister to multiple Irish St. Ledger winner Vinnie Rowe. She's a daughter of Oscar. She's just taken a while to find her feet, but her latest run was stepped up to 2 miles 6 at Newcastle was very encouraging. She was staying on second to McGinty's Dream. That wasn't the strongest race in the world, and the winner is rated 74. To put it in context, most of these have been running against better class horses, but that proved that she stayed a stiff 2 miles 6, which was a slight question mark on pedigree. Most of the family do stay 2.5, but you know, she took after the stamina elements in her dam side of the pedigree, then 3 miles would look interesting for her, and she did look like she stayed thoroughly over that 2 miles 6. So with that in mind, and the fact that she's completely unexposed in handicaps and at this kind of trip, I thought she'd improve enough to beat some horses who are thoroughly exposed for all, and the majority of them are fairly consistent. I see Beskett Springs is put in as favourite on the tissue you have there. I find that very odd. I couldn't have him in a month of Sundays for all he won last time out. He's not the type to string two good runs together. I know he's won twice this season, but I thought he'd be opposed. Well, Alexander Thorne claiming 7 now rather than the 10 he did last time out. So in a manner of speaking, he's 7 pounds higher, or sorry, 8 pounds higher than for his last run, and that should find him out. Plujamay keeps getting placed around here. Got a very good record at Ayr. Probably he's better over fences than hurdles. And he ran very well to be second last time out. Maybe should have won that the way it panned out. But he's not quite as good over hurdles, and I think he'd probably hit the frame again without winning.
Okay, so starting with the younger legs there of Oscar's Prospect in the 320. I did say we'd go through these in chronological order, didn't I? But I've managed to mess that up already. So we'll go through them in meeting order. And we'll go to the next at Ayr, which is the 420, which is a Class 3 handicap chase. The extended 2.5 miles is the distance for this one. A field of 5 set to go to post here. Some decent enough performance in there, Rory. Who comes on me from?
I thought this was liable to boil down into a match between Special Catch and Mountain King. Special Catch has nabbed a couple this season, winning on the soft at Sedgefield last time out. Only £3 higher for that. It was a weak enough race he ran in last time, so the £3 rise is not overly harsh, but he wouldn't want to go on much more than that, to be perfectly honest. But he does win his races. He handles the ground perfectly well, so he's a big player. I was... Nuno Mac's an interesting one for Ian Duncan. First run for Ian, but he doesn't want the ground this soft. It's going to be heavy in places, and his best form has come on good ground. So he does have heavy ground form, but I think he's a little bit better when it's not so testing, Nuno Mac. So he's one for another day, perhaps. Mr. Ruffett got his head in front last time out, but I thought it was a pretty weak... it looked a pretty weak race on paper. In fairness, the horses he beat have advertised the form since, but I think this is a tougher contest, and he's £8 higher, Master Ruffett. So I wanted to be I was inclined to be against him. And on Noble was in really good form last season, but run poorly in two runs. This time around, his jumping's gone to pieces, really. Might do better in this small field. But as I said, I thought Special Catch would probably start favourite. But I'm going to come down in favour of Mountain King, who's had a couple of tough tasks recently. He won at Perth in September, ran well enough to be second at Stratford next time. He then had an impossible task in the Troy Town at Nav, and that's a very competitive handicap chase, which was won by the horse who finished second in the Irish Gold Cup yesterday, to give you an idea of the company he's been tackling. And he then ran a rather odd race at Wetherby over Christmas with cheek pieces added to the usual tongue tie. Never really in the hunt, but not at all knocked about when he was beaten. And I thought it was a run you could probably put a line through. Tom Scudamore booked for Gordon Elliott, who's in very good form at the moment. I thought he'd bounce back to form. I mean, it depends what kind of price he's going to be. I thought he'd be second or third favourite here. If he was a short price, you'd be a little bit wary of getting too heavily involved, given he's coming off the back of a moderate run. But I think he's better than that. And as long as he's a reasonable price, I'll put him up as a selection.
Mountain King then, selection. That has changed ownership, hasn't he, at some point?
Yeah, he was with the Waitleys.
Yeah, yeah. That was Philip Hobsdale's as well, wasn't it, when he used to be trained by...
Yeah, but the Whitleys, they moved a few horses to Gordon Elliott, and I think he started running in those colours anyway. He's now runs for the Mackays, Jack Mackay, Paul Mackay and Mark Mackay.
Thank you. Let's move on to Newcastle then. The 3:10 is next up on our preview here. Class 3 handicap coming up at Newcastle. 2 miles is the trip for this one. 9 of them are set to go to post, and Natural Scenery arrives here in winning form. Rory, what do you make of him stepping up in trip here?
Yeah, the step on trip is a slight question mark for her, but she is improving. The daughter of Dubawi, she's got a very good pedigree, and she's been running very well. And her, you know, she beat Master Paver last time out. He's a very good yardstick. Richard Fahey's son of Master Crafts. He always seems to run his race. He was a little bit unlucky not to get the race in the stewards' room in his previous start at Newcastle. But Natural Scenery, despite a slightly awkward head carriage, got up to beat him in a decent time. So in terms of speed figures, she gives the impression that there's more to come. Josephine Gordon keeps a run on her. And if she stays, she's got every chance of winning this. Master Paver should run his race again, although, again, he's stepping up in trip. He's given the impression, he stays 2 miles in the past. I think he's probably at his best over given a well-run mile and a half. Zakatal probably makes the running here to make it a true test. The one I was interested in is London Prize. This is a horse I like an awful lot. I fundamentally like him an awful lot as a handicap hurdler. Mm-hmm. And he ran in the Scottish County Hurdle last time out. And for me, was going as well as anything in the race when falling at the top of the back straight. He travelled very sweetly through it. I really liked the way he jumped and travelled and battled when he was beaten at Market Raisin on his previous start over hurdles. Still, every time I watch that race, I still can't understand that he hasn't won it. He looked all over the winner. Even in the photo, I thought he'd won it, but he got down on the nod by the horse on his far side. That was solid form for the track. And as I said, it looked like he was going to follow up off a mark of 128 last time out. To my eye, it was a fair way from home, obviously. People will think that he's switched back to the flat just to get his confidence back. I'm not at all sure about that. I think he's capable of doing some damage off a mark of 82. The last time we saw him on the flat, he was a winner off a staying handicap at Nottingham off 75. Won that easily, though, and fully deserves the rise to 82. And given the form that he's been in over hurdles, I thought he was a horse who would carry that improvement back to this sphere. So he's the one to beat for me.
Mm. Yeah, it was progressive on the flat, continued to improve over the hurdle, so I can see where you're coming from there with London Prize. Let's finish off in the 4:10 at Newcastle. Class 2 handicap, 7 furlongs to the trip, a field of 13 of them set to go to post. Good handicap, this. Going to be quite tricky as well, though.
It's not even vague. Oh, hold on a second. Are we looking at the right? Oh, we are indeed. Thank goodness for that. I thought I was looking at the wrong race for a second. I don't think this is even vaguely tricky.
Really?
Okay. I think normally we look at races and go, oh, it's a really open race, but I'd give this one half a chance. I think there's a stone-bonking certainty in this race.
Do tell us who.
And that is Russian Soul. It's not often... You often watch a race and say, it's a pity that trainer X doesn't send horses to this track because this track would be ideal for this horse. Watched Russian Soul at Wolverhampton last time out and said he's a really interesting horse, but he's got a dreadful draw, widest of all over 7 furlongs. And the tight track won't suit him because he gets behind in his races, runs on really strongly. It's just a pity that Jimmy Osborne doesn't send horses to Newcastle because this is the kind of horse who would absolutely relish the track, in that Newcastle has a habit of suiting horses who are held up. Most all-weather tracks suit front runners to some degree. Whereas because he's a little bit slowly out the stalls, he tends to get settled towards the back. He needs a race to be run in a certain way to bring him into play. He caught the eye hugely at Wolverhampton because it looked like he was going to finish third or fourth at best, and he's absolutely stormed home from a difficult position to grab second, going on strongly at the line. And although this looks a wide open race on paper, it's absolutely full of pace, and they're going to set it up for him. What price is he on the Sporting Life Tissue? I want to have a bit of a chuckle.
There he is.
He's 5-1. If he's bigger than 2-1, he's a bet.
Right.
I had this chat with Craig earlier on. I said, I wonder what kind of price you're going to. I can see him going off at 6-4.
Right, okay.
Really. So I think what will happen is when the market opens, he'll be a half decent price. He won't. I don't think he'll be 5-1. I think he'll be a point or two shorter than that. But I think he's worth backing as early as you can get on because I think he'd be a massive punt in this race. Ironically, although he was finishing strongly over the extended 7 at Wolverhampton last time out, I think he'd be at least as good over 6 at Newcastle as he over 7. I don't think he actually needs 7 furlongs. I think it's because he gets in that awkward position over sprint trips, and he's going on late in the day, that he's ended up being stepped up to 7. But he's run very good races at the trip in his last 2 starts. But I can see him doing even better, given the way the 6 furlong races pan out at Newcastle, and I think Jimmy Osborne will have a hell of a lot of fun with him.
Mm, yeah, 6 furlongs, fast and furious, and that stiff finish that's still there at Newcastle. Yeah, I can see that angle as well. So Russian Soul, a strong selection for Rory in the 4-10 at Newcastle. We've talked for quite enough time there, Rory. Thank you very much.
Indeed.
Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you very much indeed.
There you go. That's the thoughts of Rory DeLaghi on Tuesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Darren Owen, Ross Briley and John Budd in the team in the studio for Ayr, Fontwell and Newcastle. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.